We desire an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title of the message this morning is Two Mites. Two Mites. If you will turn with me to the book of Mark in the 12th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 41. Book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 41. It said, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. I'd like us to just start right there. Jesus sat over against the treasury. It's kind of like if there was a, kind of like this morning, there was a public offering, and if Jesus were to have come in this morning and just kind of sat back and just kind of observed and kind of watched what was going on. Do you all like to people watch? You ever like just to, sometimes it's, like some say, it's better than going to the zoo usually. Just to sit down somewhere, just to be able to sit down where there's a lot of people and just look at people. Just watch people. Jesus was people watching here. And he was just kind of sitting back observing what was going on in people's, in their giving and what they were doing. He was observing the different manner in which they gave. It's what the scripture indicates. He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. There were rich people coming, and there were poor people coming. And he was just observing the differences in the manner in which they gave. I'm sure the way they walked up to the offering box, in the way they walked away, what they did when they got there. We had a sister many years ago that she would come in and we would know when she arrived because we had a box in the back and we could hear the clinking. And so it was, as children, we would try to imitate this sister and go get our coins and throw them as hard as we could in the box so you could hear the clink. In other words, there are people that have different methods of giving, and sometimes you may wonder and kind of wonder what the motivation is behind different people's giving. It was right here for the rich to give abundantly. The poor didn't have much to give, and Jesus observed and saw that the rich, he said, many that were rich cast in much. You know, those are the silent ones, the bills. They weren't just the coins that were going in, so to speak. But Jesus observed, and it is right still today that those that have an abundance give an abundance. And I will preface, and you'll know it by the end, but my message is not about money this morning. That's not the end. That's not the end of the message, at least. But it was something that those to whom much has been given, what? Much is required. That means whether it be your finances, whether it be our time, whether it be our talents, whatever it is that God has given to us, to those that have much, there is an expectation of God that we give abundantly and that we not be stingy in our sacrifices to the Lord. Because you see, if I have $1,000, and my bills are paid, and everything is going relatively good, and I've got an extra. I know we may say there's never extra. But if I've got $1,000, and I come along, and I give $50, and I go away feeling real good about myself, I gave $50 to the work of God, and I've still got $950 that's disposable income to stop and get a $10 meal at McDonald's. I don't know what they all are now. They're more or less than that some places. But the point being, and nothing's wrong with eating at McDonald's, but the point being is that if the Lord has blessed us, then there is an expectation that we give back to God abundantly. And so Jesus made that observation. The rich were giving abundantly. They were giving much. Jesus, as he watched how they gave, he taught his disciples something about how to give, didn't he? Y'all remember on the Sermon on the Mount, you can turn, we'll read in the book of Matthew, but we're going to come back here to Mark in a moment. But in Matthew in the 6th chapter, Jesus gave some instruction to his disciples on how to give. He said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Now, Jesus did not say it was wrong to be seen of men. Do you take note of that? He said, do not give it to be, he said, do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Do not let that be the motivating factor in your giving and in your work for the Lord. He said, otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Now, again, what was Jesus observing as he just kind of sat back? There were those that probably quietly came and did their offering, but were reminded that Jesus taught his disciples, don't sound the trumpet. Hey, everybody, look here. I want everybody to know what I'm doing here. Once I've got everybody's attention, then I'll give. Jesus said, you're not going to have a reward from your Father which is in heaven. And he gave one of the reasons. He said, they have their glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So some were giving to be seen of men. In other words, have you ever noticed how people motivate giving in society? If you will give $100, you get a special, your name gets on a piece of paper and special recognition. But to the high donors, we might put a brick in the walkway with your name on it. If you give $1,000 or if you go up to $25,000, you get a plaque with your name in honorable mention. So everybody that walks in the building, your name, you get a plaque with your name on it. And sometimes that motivates people. It motivates people a little bit because, well, I was just going to give $100, but if I can get my name on the board there and everybody kind of knows, I might bump it up and I'll go ahead and double it and give $200 because my name will be up there. Jesus said they have their reward. But he said when you give, don't do it so everybody knows what you're doing, but do it to give in secret. Because the Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. I would rather have the blessings of the Lord in my life than the praise of men. Jesus, again, it was not about something wrong with a public offering. Now, I've shared this before, but I grew up, and it's still that way when you go to the Northwest. If you go to Gladstone, to Oregon, Jefferson, Washington, and in the congregation there, there is no public offering, okay? And I grew up that way. We had a box in the back because we're to give secretly. So I came back here to the Midwest and I wasn't quite sure about some of you folks having public offerings. And so here I had to come to understand what the scripture really meant. He was not saying it was wrong to have a public offering, okay? If it was wrong, we need to get rid of this. But that's not what he was saying, and those that espouse that doctrine better stop with public prayers as well, because if you keep on praying, Jesus said, when you pray, do what? Enter into your closet. So that means that would teach against public prayer as well. But the point is with prayer is, it's not to what people think of the words you say. Prayer is about what's going on between you and God. And so there's nothing wrong. They had it at the temple. They had a public offering box that people could go. That's part of our service to the Lord. That's part of our worship to the Lord. We give him our praise and we give our alms still today. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, the motivation is what Christ is interested in. Why are you doing what you're doing? I remember hearing of a sister one time, and she told on herself. She told me that there was a revival meeting, and there was a public offering. And she knew it would look bad if she didn't go up and put something in the offering, so she walked up and she put $1 in the offering, and everybody would see her going to the front, and she put a dollar in. You know, the Lord knows our motivations. She would have done better probably just to stay in her seat. I mean, nothing was wrong with giving a dollar if that's what she had. But the point is, the Lord is interested in what's motivating us this morning in every area of our life. If we are living our life, if we are giving, if we are acting, if we are testifying, if we are dressing, if we are going or not going to please men, whether it be in the congregation or out of the congregation, that is not what the Lord is looking for. Because you're being motivated by what people think about you. The Lord is interested in the motivation of our heart. And the things that we do, the Lord is just as or more interested in why we're doing it as in what we're doing. So he observed them giving, and we know Jesus' teaching, don't do it to be seen of men. And so he was, again, he was people watching. Some sounded the trumpet, some quietly came, some came with abundance, and some came. A certain woman came with just two mites. But Jesus was observing that. You know, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth what? The heart. If we leave a heart experience out of our service to God, we do not have service to God. We have service to man. We can have good traditions. We can have good and right doctrines. We can have a lot of things that we do that are good and things we don't do because they're not good. But if we are being motivated by what people think of us, we are going to miss the true blessings of what it means to walk with God. And unfortunately, that's a lot of people's perceptions. Well, I just have to do these things to fit in. No, the Lord's looking on the heart today. And he's interested in what is motivating us because of our love for him. He's not looking just at the action, but what's behind the action today. The scripture also teaches us that the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know when we begin to really get a heart experience, it liberates us from the bondage of what people think. Now, are all of us completely free from that bondage? Lord, help us. Use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. But when we recognize that serving God is about what's going on. I had a sister or a lady. She wasn't a sister in the Lord. We can go back to Adam and Eve. But she asked me, you're talking about service, and she said, well, but do I have to do this and this if I come? I said, absolutely not. We just want you to come. Just come as you are. We're glad to have you. Because do you realize when people conform to something to try to fit in, there's nothing. It's not heart motivated. And that means that there's no joy in it, and pretty soon I'm going to get in bondage because I'm doing it because I want Brother Max to approve of me, so I'm going to have to do it this way. And now I'm in bondage to Brother Max. And there's no liberty. And pretty soon I'm going to look at all of you and say, well, I'm doing this just because I've got to follow the rules of the church. We have missed it. We have missed it. The Lord is interested in what's going on in your heart. We want to do the right things. He wants us to give abundantly as he blesses us. But he's more interested in what's prompting and motivating that sacrifice. Well, the Lord is still today people watching. He's still observing us today. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in where? Every place, beholding the evil and the good. Do you know this morning that Jesus is still sitting back and he's watching? I had tears in my eyes as I came to service this morning, as I meditated. The Lord's watching, and he knows. Every decision that we're making, the things that we're doing, the life choices that we are making, the Lord is sitting back, and he's watching us, and he knows. He knows why we're here. He knows why we're not here. He knows what's causing us to act like we act and do what we do. And the Lord's sitting back still today, and I wonder how different would this week have been if Jesus had been with each one of us in the flesh. Now, he is in the spirit. But in the flesh, if Jesus were standing right beside us in everything that we did, and we knew that he was watching me, is there anything I would have done differently? Is there anything I would have said differently? Is there anything I would have resisted a little bit more quickly? Is there anything I would have done? Would it have changed my priorities just a little bit if the Lord was right there and he was watching me? Michael, I'm watching you. Would it have changed my priorities for this week a little bit? What would he do? Because see, he's still watching us this morning. And it's not just what we do, it's why. It's what's behind it. It's where our heart is. That's what the Lord's interested in this morning. He's interested in our heart. And so going back to the book of Mark in the 12th chapter in the 42nd verse. So Jesus is people watching. He's watching them give. He's watching them put in the treasury. And it said there came a certain poor widow. Now, I don't want to do injustice to the scripture, but I was really blessed when it said a certain widow. And I want to tell you the reason why. He singled her out from the crowd. And do you realize that we are all being singled out from the crowd? When the Lord looks on us and he is beholding the motivations of our life, he's saying, there was a certain man. Yeah, Brother Randy, there was a certain man. There was a certain woman, Sister Kay, there was a certain woman. He's looking on each one of us very individually, and he's looking on us, and he knows what is motivating the decisions in our life. And so there was a certain woman. It wasn't just any widow woman. There was a certain widow woman, and as you all know, a widow woman was one there that she did not have someone to take care of her. In other words, this was someone that was living from day to day, not knowing how she was going to make it. She didn't have a husband that was bringing in wages or bringing in from the fields for her. And we know by the evidence of what Jesus told, she was a very poor woman. Do you know that Jesus knows of our abundance this morning, but he also knows of our poverty? And he is not judging us, and I'm so thankful for that. He is not judging us this morning based upon how I compare to you or how you compare to me. He is looking at us individually with our time and our talents and our ability. Yes, finances is part of it, but most of all, with my heart. With the sacrifice of my devotion to God. He's not comparing me to anybody else, but he's looking on me. And so this widow woman came. It said there was a certain widow woman, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. She gave 2 mites. We wonder how much is a mite. They say that 1 mite at the time was equivalent to, and you can pull out your calculator to figure it in your head, but they said a mite was 1/64th of a day's common labor, the wages for a common labor, okay? So minimum wage here in Missouri is still what? Common labor. Is it eight or 12 now? I know, is it 12 now? Okay, so take 12, multiply it by 8, all right? And divide that by 64. Do you have a large number? You don't. Maybe $2 to $3 because she put in 2 mites. So maybe $2 or $3. But at the time, keep in mind, their standard of living was a lot less than it is here. So I can tell you the equivalent was not $8 an hour. So it was like taking, because a mite was the smallest coin that was in circulation. So a penny, a nickel. And if someone came up this morning and we knew what we were putting in, and someone came up and put a nickel in, what would you think? What difference does a mite make? What difference are the two mites making? You know, sometimes, speaking personally, I feel like my two mites don't make much difference. But you know, that's not what the Lord is interested in. Because this is what he said. See, she cast in something that was so insignificant. It was not going to make a meaningful difference in respect to that whole offering, what was in that box. And yet, Jesus said, this widow, she cast in two mites into the treasury. And so he called his disciples and he said, here, come on, I want to tell you something. He said, verily I say unto you that this poor widow cast in more than them all, they which have cast in the treasury, for they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Jesus was looking at her heart, and there was a woman that came and gave the last that she had. And she gave it to the Lord. And you know, there's something that's worth so much more than what's in our checkbook, in our checking account this morning, what's in our billfold. It has to do with our heart. There are people that can do seemingly great things. And it seems like they're doing so much for God, maybe. But you know, that's really not what the Lord is looking for this morning. He's looking for some more people like this widow woman that came and said, Lord, I don't have a lot. I don't have much of anything, but I'm going to give you what I have. And Jesus said she gave more than all of them. I would that there be more certain widow women's today, that we can understand the Lord is so interested in our motivation. And I wonder, what is it that enabled that widow woman to give the last she had? Because if she had just, maybe she had enough to go buy some bread. Maybe she had enough to go buy a roll on the street and have some bread and water for a meal. And yet she made a decision, I'm going to give that back to the Lord. Somewhere, this widow woman, and I know we have the teachings of Christ on this issue, but somewhere she knew the truth of what Christ taught us on the Sermon on the Mount as well, that take no thought for your life of what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or nor yet for your body what you shall put on. And it was because the Father knows that you have need of those things. But seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things shall be added unto you. So I wonder if that widow woman, when she came with her two mites, she was like, God, this is the last I have. But I love you. And I owe you so much because you love me. And so, Lord, I'm giving you everything I have, and I'm trusting you to provide me for my next meal. This morning, the enemy would like us to feel like we need to keep some things in reserve. Because most of us here probably, we like to be in control of things, right? I mean, I like to know what tomorrow holds if I can, as much as I can. I like to know what bills are going to come in, and I like to know what's coming in. But, you know, life doesn't work that way. So with our time and with our talents, but most of all with our hearts this morning, is there anyone here that would like to give everything and say, Lord, I'm not going to hold in reserve anymore? And it has nothing to do with anybody else around me is giving and doing and how they're living. Now, this is between me and God. That, Lord, I come to you and I'm just going to pour my heart out and I place my life in your hands because I'm trusting you. I think that widow woman had to have found that kind of a faith that, Lord, I'm going to trust you. two mites. You see, money wasn't really the issue, was it? The money wasn't the issue. It was an issue of the heart. And that's why the scripture teaches in the New Testament not to give of necessity. In other words, don't give a tithe. Okay? The New Testament does not teach tithing. That was the box of necessity. That's what you give of the tithe. Give not of necessity, because God loves what? A cheerful giver. That everything that we give should not be from coercion or from bondage to what people think. So the things we do, the places we go, the way that we dress, the things we don't do, all of those things, give not of necessity. I'm under bondage to it. But Lord, everything I give, we got the box, the tithe box, and we've got the free will box. And the New Testament moved over the tithe box, and he said, everything that you do, just give of your heart. That's free will. So that's how the Lord, that's the kind of service that the Lord is looking for this morning, is free will service to God. And I say, Lord, I don't have much, but I've got two mites. Some people have abundance and they may be able to do so much and be able to be, but Lord, if I bring my crumbs, see, some call the mite a crumb. Lord, I'm going to bring my crumbs to you and I place them in your hands. That's the reason why the scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, fully, completely acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To give our all is to place our life in the hands of God, to place our abundance and to place our crumbs in his hands and say, Lord, this is yours, not because I have to, not because of what the church says. You understand that? But Lord, I do this because I know your will for my life, and I love you, and I want to serve you. This is what makes freedom in serving the Lord. This is what brings peace in serving the Lord. This is what brings the joy, and I will say, in poverty. And I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking about when we have some real needs and we are desperate. This is what we come to the Lord and know that, Lord, I have not misplaced my faith. I place my life in your hands and I'm confident that you're going to take care of me and you're going to guide me and you're going to direct me and you're going to lead me in my tomorrows. So if you only have a mite, if you only have a crumb, I would like to encourage you this morning to place it in the hands of God. 5 loaves and 2 fish, it's so insignificant to feed the crowd, but in the hands of God, he can do miraculous things, and God can still do wonderful things in all of our lives that are here this morning. The Lord can do something beautiful and wonderful in our lives when we are willing to come from the heart and give him our two mites. Lord, this is what I am. This is who I am, and this is what I have. Whether it be in abundance or my poverty, Lord, I want to cast all into the treasury because I trust you. This is the service that the Lord is calling for today. Amen.